Last Lord's Day, we continued our study concerning the kingdom to come. And we looked at the question, why is Acts chapter 2 called the hub of the Bible? Well, as we noted, Daniel chapter 2, 44 and 45, the inspired interpretation Daniel gave King Nebuchadnezzar about his dream was certainly pointing to the coming Church of Christ. We also noted Isaiah 2, 1 through 4, Joel 2, 28 through 32, and Micah 4, 1 through 4, all looking forward to Acts chapter 2. And of course, Jesus, when he taught his disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, you'll see that our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Well, of course, we don't pray that today because the kingdom has come, and that would be the Church of Christ, which was established in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, right there in Acts chapter 2. Yes, and Jesus told some that there be, well, some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power, Mark 9, 1. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, Jesus told his disciples. And they waited and they received the immersion of the Holy Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit baptism, giving them power. And they, of course, would remember all that Jesus taught them, and they spoke the truth by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They wrote, those that were writing the books of the Bible in the New Testament, also inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so we noted that they began speaking in tongues, languages which could be understood by the people on the day of Pentecost there in Acts 2. So that's why we call this the hub of the Bible. Now, as we finished up our study last Lord's Day, we were looking at Jeremiah's prophecy concerning Coni, who was the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and this revealed God's judgment upon Coni. And we noted, of course, and this would be the prophecy here in Jeremiah 22, that no descendants of Coni would prosper sitting on the physical, that is, throne of David, and ruling anymore in Judah. Well, since Christ is a descendant of Coni, Jeconus, then, of course, he is not going to prosper if he's on a throne on the earth, which, of course, he's not. Where is the throne of the Lord? It's in heaven, and he's reigning now with all power, with all authority. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and let's never forget that. So we want to pick back up with that study of the prophets of old defeating premillennialism before it was even thought up in the mind of man. And we'll begin that continued study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And if we'll remember those initials, PFE, we should be able to stay focused every day as we want to be in heaven with God the Father and God who became God the Word, who became the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior, and God the Holy Spirit, all the angels of heaven, and of course all those who are faithful in the Lord's church, all the babies and little children who have died safe in the arms of the Lord. We want to all be together, do we not? Well, let's strive to prepare for eternity every day. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as, of course, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern, but also having a proper attitude, thus in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:24. I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. We love to have visitors. Now, something else we want to mention. If you would like to have a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set it up at your convenience. Also, we have Bible correspondence courses available, of course, all free. And your questions, Bible questions, are always welcome, as well as your comments, positive or negative. So again, here's our phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And of course, our address, I'll give that too, and that is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And we hope everyone will be safe in their driving. Of course, the stores are gearing up already for holidays, the holiday season, so want everybody to be safe. And, of course, we look forward to our family get-togethers coming up shortly at the Thanksgiving holiday. So we wish everybody a very wonderful holiday time with their families. And we may want to mention that again, Lord willing, next week. But now, let's get to our study as we're continuing to look at prophecy in the Old Testament, where premillennialism is defeated even before it was invented from men's mind. So we'll go now to Zechariah. This would be Zechariah 6, 12 and 13. Now let's notice together another example of Old Testament, of an Old Testament prophet refuting premillennialism, again, even before it was espoused, is Zechariah. Now note, "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch," all capital letters, "and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne." Let's note that. "And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." Well, of course, this is a prophecy of Christ. He is the branch, and he, at this time this prophecy was made, in the future, he's going to build his temple, which, of course, is referring to the church of Christ. His church, he built it, purchased it with his precious blood. He's the foundation. He's the head of the church, and it's his spiritual body. Shouldn't we call it the church of Christ? This is not a physical temple. No, sir. Now, we need to note that Christ would be, according to Zechariah's prophecy, a priest sitting upon his throne. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 7 and look at verse 14. "As our Lord and Savior was not of the tribe of Levi, which was the priestly tribe. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood." Now, Moses did speak of the tribe of Levi as the priesthood tribe. He didn't need to say all the others, did he? No. When he said that, that was enough. The silence of the scriptures need to be, of course, appreciated. This is an example of that. Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood being of Judah. He didn't need to. He told which tribe it was. Now, the following verses we're going to look at are easily understood if we open our minds to God's Word, and we certainly need to be good students of the Word of God. Let's notice Hebrews 8, 1 through 4. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. We need to understand that for sure. All these man-made churches, God didn't pitch those. We need to know about the church the Lord pitched. Now notice, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Did we all get that? For if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. This is Hebrews 8, 1 through 4. We all need to understand it. Yes. You, again, going back to Zechariah's prophecy, he shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. Therefore, Christ cannot sit upon the throne of David on the earth. No, sir. And that's what the premillennialists tell us. Yes, they tell us that he's going to come and reign for 1,000 years. That's not what the Bible says. We better stay with the Bible. Jesus cannot be a king or a priest on this earth, as we've seen with Jeremiah and Zechariah's prophecy. By staying with God's word, we know that Christ is our high priest now, N-O-W, and he's reigning now, N-O-W, on the throne of God. Where? In heaven. Of course he is. And we need to appreciate that. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But unto thee, Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Well, that's exactly right. Well, we need to appreciate that, do we not? Look at Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Obviously in heaven. Many other verses we could look at, but that should prove to us that premillennialism is false. And we better stay with the Word of God. And if we're thinking of such false beliefs, we need to understand they're not in the Scriptures. It came from the mind of man. Are we going to follow God or man? Certainly we want to follow God, do we not? Who pitched the true tabernacle? It was not man, but it was the Lord that built his spiritual house, again, which is the church of Christ. Notice 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, as we're studying Daniel's prophecy previously concerning the Church of Christ, we can see another example of an Old Testament prophecy refuting premillennialism. So let's go on to another example in the Old Testament concerning prophecy of the coming kingdom of God, the Church of Christ. And this would be a good way to start this examination of this prophecy of Daniel. Notice, Why did King Herod ask where the Messiah would be born instead of when? Because he would have known when, but not where. As we noted in Daniel 2:44, the kings are the rulers of the Roman Empire, the Caesars. Now, if these rulers are in the 21st century today, Herod's question would not make any sense, would it? Well, of course not. Now, King Herod, remember, was afraid that he would lose his kingdom to the coming Messiah. He failed to realize that Jesus was not a threat to his being a kingdom, to his being a king over a physical kingdom. Jesus didn't come to be a king over a physical kingdom. He was born and he set up his spiritual kingdom, the church, during the days of the Roman kings as he purchased it with his precious blood. Now again, Daniel prophesied this in Daniel 2:44 and 45. So the premillennialists today do not understand that Jesus established his spiritual kingdom, the church of Christ, in the days of these Roman kings, Caesars, since they're looking forward to the second coming of Christ as the time for the establishment of a physical kingdom and reigning on earth for 1,000 years. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Here's the prophecy that we're wanting to see, another example. You have here in Daniel chapter 7 the four great beasts coming up from the sea, and they're representing the same four world empires which were represented by the four metals found in the great statue back in chapter 2. You know, the head of gold and the chest of silver and the upper thighs, you know, was represented by brass, bronze, and the lower legs, iron mixed with clay. So you had Babylon, then the Medo-Persian Empire, then the Grecian Empire, and then the Roman Empire being represented by those four metals in the dream. But here we have four great beasts coming up from the sea. Now, if you'll notice, there's a lion. And this is Daniel chapter 7, 1 through 8. And rather than read all of this, let me just, and you'll want to study it by all means. But right now, notice the lion that's mentioned here in verse 4. Had eagle's wings and so forth. That's representing the Babylonian kingdom. And then next you have the bear, a second beast, verse 5. Well, that's representing the Medo-Persian Empire. The leopard, boy, he springs up and boy, he just goes to town. He's representing the Grecian Empire with Alexander the Great as the Grecian king. And then the fourth, of course, the beast with iron teeth, 10 horns, representing the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire, which included their Caesars. And you had verse 8, 3 came up among them, another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by one by the roots, and behold, in this horn were the eyes like eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. There were 3 kings that didn't last long, Caesars, better to say, Galba, Otha, and Vitellius. And then the little horn may have been representing Vespasian, all coming in the future. But the point I wanted us to see, the prophecy concerning the kingdom of God. Now this, again, is what we needed to note before we get to that prophecy, that what we've just looked at. So now, let's go to verse 11. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. And so here was the prophecy of the kingdom of God, which is the church of Christ, being established during the days of the Roman Empire before this last beast was slain, representing the fall of the Roman Empire. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, after his crucifixion, ascended up into heaven and sat down on his throne. Now, you see here, this is a real deep study as you get into Daniel's prophecy here. And people have made all kinds of things out of this, but we need to, of course, keep things in the context that they are. As we understand what Daniel saw, along with what was said on the day of Pentecost, we can conclude absolutely that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is on his throne now. Now, go with me back to Daniel 7. We're going to pick back up with verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, God the Father. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. That's right. That all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. We saw that in Daniel's interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream too, didn't we? Now, what we want to do is note Acts chapter 2, the hub of the Bible, verses 30 through 34. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, David, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, should be Hades, the place of the dead, which would have been paradise for Christ, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Note that. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens. That's where Christ did, and that's where he's on the throne. But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. So, when Jesus our Lord and Savior ascended up into heaven, after he was resurrected and seen by over 500 witnesses, he was before God the Father, the Ancient of Days. And he was given what? Dominion. He became king on his throne. He was given glory and an everlasting kingdom which is open to all people. The ascension of Christ, Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11, was during the time of the reign of Tiberius, a Roman Caesar, who was one of the kings, from Daniel 2, 44. The everlasting kingdom is the only spiritual kingdom, the only church open for all nations to be blessed by obeying the gospel of Christ. You have the promise that God gave Abraham going back to Genesis 12 verse 3, that through thy seed all nations shall be blessed. You have Isaiah's prophecy too, chapter 2, 2 and 3. The church is going to be exalted above the hills, and all shall flow unto it. Now, go with me to Galatians chapter 3, and let's note, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And now, Let's drop down to verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise, Genesis 12:3, that we just mentioned. Are we seeing this? Are we understanding that the church of Christ is the kingdom of God? And Jesus promised to build his church, did he not? And he gave the apostles the keys to the kingdom. They preached the gospel of Christ and opened the doors, the spiritual doors, to the church of Christ. So Daniel foretold of God setting up his kingdom, which would be an everlasting kingdom, not a thousand-year kingdom. True or false? We all better say true. You remember what Jesus said to Pilate as he answered him, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." John 18:36. If one believes premillennial doctrine, then he is in disagreement with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Right or wrong? What does the Bible say? Are we staying with the Word of God or what man has said? Let's compare Daniel 7:27 as we go back to Daniel chapter 7. Notice verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Daniel 7:27. Now, 2 Peter 1:11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we respond to what we've studied from the Word of God? Are we a part of the kingdom of God, the Church of Christ, by obeying the gospel? If not, why not? We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, staying with the truth. Staying with the authority of Christ, we can sit down together and study from God's Word. We have to hear the truth in order to have faith, Romans 10:17. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ who died for our sins, John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent, making a change of wills and do the will of God, turning from a life of sin and turning towards God in the right direction. Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, stating, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God." Romans 10:9-10. Now we're ready to be immersed, buried, underwater, baptism, which contacts the blood of Christ as we come up out of the water to walk in newness of life. And we thank you so much for listening today.